Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the, the sixth canto, chapter 4. This is the Hamsaguya prayers offered to the Lord by Prajapati Daksha. We're on text number 42 and 43. Looks like 42 is on the board, so we'll chant that one together. Tam tatavanatam bhaktam praja kamam prajapatim chittagya sarvabhutanam idam aha janardanaha tam tatavanatam bhaktam Praja kamam prajapatim chittagyana sarvabhutanam idam aha janardanaha tam tatavanatam bhaktam praja kamam prajapatim chittagyana sarvabhutanam idamaha janardanaha tam tatayvana tam bhaktam prajakamam prajapatim chittagyana sarvabhutanam idamaha janardanaha Bhaktam Kapatim Tanasambhutanam Janardanaha. Matajis. Tam him Prajapati Daksha. Tata, in that way. Avanatam, prostrated before him. Bhaktam, a great devotee. Prajakamam, desiring to increase the population. Prajapatim, unto the Prajapati Daksha. Chittagya. Who can understand the hearts? Sarvabhutanam. Of all living entities. Idam. This. Aha. Said. Janardanaha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who can appease everyone's desires. Translation. Although Prajapati Daksha could not say anything, when the Lord, who knows everyone's heart, saw his devotee prostrate in that manner and desiring to increase the population, he addressed him as follows. Text number 43. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Prachetasa Mahabhaga Samsidas Tapasabhavan Yachtradaya Matpraya Mai Bhavam Param Gataha. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O most fortunate Prachetasa, because of your great faith in me, you have attained the supreme devotional ecstasy. Indeed, because of your austerities, combined with exalted devotion, your life is now successful. You have achieved complete perfection. So please repeat. Although Prajapati Daksha could not say anything, when the Lord who knows everyone's heart saw his devotee prostrate in that manner, and desiring to increase the population, he addressed him as follows. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O most fortunate Prachetasa, because of your great faith in me, you have attained the supreme devotional ecstasy. Indeed, because of your austerities, combined with exalted devotion, your life is now successful. You have achieved complete perfection. Purport. As the Lord Himself confirms in the Bhagavad Gita 8:15, one reaches the highest perfection when he attains the fortune of realizing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mam upetya punarjanma dukhalayam asasvatam napnuvanti mahatmanaha samsirim param gati or gata. After attaining me, the great souls who are yogis in devotion never return to this temporary world, which is full of miseries, because they have attained the highest perfection. Therefore, the Krishna consciousness movement teaches one to follow the path toward the topmost perfection simply by performing devotional service. Om Jnana Tamarandasya Gnanjana Savakaya Chakshus Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upagadamayam Dadanti Swapadanti Kam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gora Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakopa Tubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So the verses again, 42 and 43. Although Prajapati Daksha could not say anything, when the Lord who knows everyone's heart saw his devotee prostrate in that manner, and desiring to increase the population, he addressed him as follows. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O most fortunate Prachetasa, because of your great faith in me, you have attained the supreme devotional ecstasy. Indeed, because of your austerities, combined with exalted devotion, your life is now successful. You have achieved complete perfection. So we just finished the Hamsaguya prayers offered by Daksha. Actually, these prayers existed before Daksha. He's repeating them from the Vedic literatures. And now the Supreme Personality of Godhead is replying to his prayers. So we're kind of in a junction point here between the prayers and of Daksha and then the reply by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I thought it might be kind of interesting to just kind of review a little bit about what we learned from these prayers, or at least what I've learned. And it seems really interesting how we're learning so much just from this one chapter. We're learning the whole process of evolution, how the species are created. We're learning the greatness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we're learning how the controllers of the universe, how they interact with each other. You know, how they guide each other and how they get along. And we're seeing that these great personalities, these great kings, they have such vast knowledge. You know, we see that the sons of Prachinabarhi, they were engaged in the waters performing austerities, and they became angry. And the king of the trees came and enlightened them with his deep knowledge that, you know, you shouldn't be angry. And we learn from these purports how Prabhupada brings in the importance of the government, how they should not be negligent, especially in agriculture. Because he says when the government neglects agriculture, then there's less grains is produced. And then what happens? We're in a very difficult situation in this world. So it's interesting how we see that Daksha seemed to be pretty humble. And all these personalities in here are pretty humble. They're taking guidance. And we hear guidance from Yudhisthira. He's also a great king who took responsibility for the living entities. And there's some nice instructions given to him. You hear in the Mahabharata where he's talking with the Yaksha, who happens to be his father. And his father's asking him all these questions, just testing his knowledge. So there's some really deep questions and answers there in that section of the Mahabharata. And one thing the Yudhisthira says, that pride means thinking oneself to be the doer of activities in this world without recognizing that there is a supreme power and control of everything. So this is what Daksha seems to be aware of. There is a supreme power. There's a supreme controller. And he needs to somehow or another humble himself and recognize that and get mercy, you know, get empowered by that personality. So this is a great lesson that we can see. So the devotees, even though they undergo tapasya, Prabhupada brings to point in this chapter how they are never angry. Whereas demons, they perform austerities. They actually perform these for their own sense gratification, and you know they become very angry, very vicious. Even Yudhisthira even says, forgiveness consists of tolerating enmity. So this pride, we have to become, if we're humble, then we don't become envious of other people. We're always very humble. And if we give up this pride, King Yudhisthira says that we become very dear to everyone. And we noticed how Prabhupada brings the point also about how chanting Hare Krishna, we have to become very humble. This is a very important process, you know, very tolerant. And then we can glorify the Lord without difficulty. Now, Prabhupada also brings again more about the government. Their duty is not only protecting the human beings, but also all living entities, including animals, trees, plants, and that no living entity should be killed unnecessarily. King Yudhisthira says that abandoning the distressed, that's the Kshatriya's impiety. So this knowledge about that was given to these Prachetas was very important, how they can maintain their piety and not become degraded. So there's also brought in the importance of the cow, how through agriculture activities, one should give full protection to the cow, which is the most useful animal. Yudhisthira says that cow's milk is life-giving nectar, because it gives, you know, this milk, it gives nectar to all society. And he explains how the cow is actually considered as food, because from the cow we get milk, and from the milk you produce the ghee, and then from the ghee you perform sacrifices. And Yudhisthira also says this ghee offered in sacrifice to the flames is called the eternal religious principle, eternal religion. So then when the ghee is offered to sacrifice, what happens? You get rainfall, and then from rainfall you get food grains. So this is the importance of the cow. It's considered as food, the source of all food actually. So these exalted royal families that we read about are always been conscious of living entities and protected them. In another instruction from Yudhisthira, he says, charity means to protect all creatures. And a man who is friendly to all creatures, he's considered to be honest. So this is the king is protector of all his subjects. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we found, is not only the controller of everything, but he's in everything. He's actually the super soul in every living entity. And that's why one should not unnecessarily kill all living entities, but we should actually see the Supreme Personality of Godhead in everybody's body, and that body is a temple. And by that vision, then you'll be able to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead and not angrily kill any living entity. And actually, Yudhisthira says, the greatest virtue in this world is to abstain from harming any creature. But if one should abandon this anger to kill living entities, because if one abandons that, then he will never have any misery. Because anger is considered to be the invincible enemy. So here we're hearing a lot of instructions from great personalities, leaders, kings like that. So I just happened to be reading that one section of Yudhisthira. So a lot of his points are like apply here. So I'm quoting him a lot here, which is very nice. So Prabhupada talks about envy, and also it's mentioned here, but one should not be envious. And it's described by Yudhisthira that envy is nothing more than grief of the heart. And ignorance is grief. And who is ignorant? He says the atheist is ignorant. And that's what's been discussed in this chapter also, the theist and the atheist. The two different philosophers Prabhupada describes, the demons or the devotees, or the devotees and the impersonalists, they're ignorant, the atheists. And what is this, what prevents us from our self-discovery? That's the spiritual ignorance. And not knowing one's religious duties is ignorance. So not performing one's religious duty is called idleness. So you see, King Daksha was not idle. He was actually engaged in austerities. In fact, Prabhupada says one cannot achieve anything great unless one performs austerity. So he wasn't idle, and he knew his religious duties to become empowered. And then we also learned how the conditioned souls, through these prayers by Daksha, that we can't actually understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead with our material senses. Nothing here in this creation can actually understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because all this was created from the Supreme Lord. It was after the Supreme Lord. It came afterwards. So there's many examples used how the different senses of the body, they cannot, you know, like the hand cannot perceive the body like that. So they can't do this. So in the same way, we can't actually see or touch or smell the Supreme Personality of Godhead with these material senses. But we have to get purified, purify the senses. And he talks about that in the prayer, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is seen in an uncontaminated transcendental state. And that's the state we can get. And Prabhupada describes how there's two different stages of God realization. One is very easily understood, and he refers that to actually trying to see the Supreme Soul, Super Soul, in the heart. It's actually considered easy without difficulty. And it's described in this chapter how you can do that, and throughout the Bhagavatam. So this is considered to be very easy. But Durgnayam, or very difficult, is to try to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's not very easy. But we have to give up this material mind of thinking, feeling, willing, you know, mental speculation. All this should stop in order for us to actually perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And one of the clues and one of the helps to help perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead is he descends himself in this material world in the form of his names, his holy names. They're not material sounds. And by glorifying these holy names, the process of hearing and chanting, that enters the core of the heart and one becomes pure. One's consciousness becomes transcendental. So the more and more we continue this process, then we'll actually be able to appreciate the name, the form, the pastimes, the paraphernalia of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when one gets in the material world, he becomes, this spiritual energy is manifested as miseries. So everyone hankers for happiness. But although happiness originally comes from the pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the material world, because of material activities, this pleasure potency becomes a source of miseries. And that's Krishna's Lada Taptakati energy. So this false happiness is the source of distress. But when we get in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then that misery is completely vanquished. So he's explaining more and more about how the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the source of everything. You know, how everything is caused by him. Actually, everything has to be done by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the devotees don't have any problem understanding this. They're not mental speculators. You know, they actually, you know, very, even though they face opposing elements, they are not confused by the mental speculators and the arguers like that. So as mentioned in this verse, that one who follows this path of devotion, he gets the supreme perfection. So this is the directions given in the Bhakti Shastras that we're reading here. And this is the path of devotion, the Bhakti Marga that's given. So when we following this path, then if we just get the slightest trace of mercy of the Lord, then we can understand his greatness. But if you try to speculate, then you're unable to understand him. Even if you continue to study for millions of years, even if you travel at the speed of wind, you still not reach that destination. So that's pretty much the prayers, just kind of summarized of Daksha. And What does Yudhisthira say about this path? He's asked, what path should you follow? And he says, following in the footsteps of the righteous constitutes the proper path. So all of the examples in this chapter is all these righteous kings and righteous personalities giving guidance. And ultimately now, the Supreme Personality of God is appearing to give us this this path to follow. And Yudhisthira also says, friendship with the righteous never breaks. So this is very important to understand how we be careful who we make friends with. Make friends with the righteous, then that will never break. We see so many friendships breaking in the mature world. So, first, the Supreme Lord is appreciating the austerities that Daksha has performed, because he's performing these austerities for the welfare of the world, actually. You see, he's desiring the benefit of all living entities, and that's Krishna's desire. That the living entities, they come in contact with this material nature, they're meant to be corrected. And because the living entity has revolted against the service of the Supreme Lord. So this is a chance, out of mercy, he's actually creating bodies for particular living entities so they can fulfill their desires and ultimately get rectified and become purified so they can go back to the spiritual world. And this is real mercy. This is real welfare activities, which Savas read this morning, how, you know, how could be more merciful and perform such welfare activities as Lord Chaitanya. And Prabhupada says, this Krishna consciousness movement is not a fad. It's a bona fide movement intended to promote the ultimate welfare for all conditioned souls. You see? So Prabhupada mentions how we should follow the example of these previous acharyas. All the members of the Krishna consciousness movement should try to benefit the conditioned souls by inducing them to become Krishna conscious and giving them all facilities to do so. So this constitutes real welfare work. So these are the activities of the preachers of the Krishna consciousness movement. As mentioned, we're concerned, we're considerate for all the conditioned souls. And then we do that, and then you become very dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it doesn't matter if you are, you know, it's like Daksha is not as great as Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva, but he was considered to, he was compared to them. Why? Because he was engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. So it doesn't matter whether one is materially high, materially low. Anyone engaged in the Supreme Lord's service is spiritually very dear to the Supreme Lord. And his services are called extraordinary. They're extraordinary services. And here the Lord reveals how he can actually be seen. If some people want to see the Lord immediately face to face, he can see the Lord by these descriptions. Of course, it's an impersonal vision, but he says, you know, austerity in the form of meditation is my heart. And my body is these hymns and mantras that one, in the Vedic knowledge, that one chants. And his actual form is the spiritual activities and ecstatic emotions. And the limbs of his body are the ritualistic ceremonies performed properly. And his mind is the unseen good fortune proceeding from our pious spiritual activities. And the demigods who execute his orders in different departments are considered to be his life and soul. So this is how one should, respect and see these demigods and how they're managing the various departments and activities of the material world, and because of the presence of the Supreme Lord. This is his how he appears in the material world. So here, the Lord is giving, empowering Daksha. to do something very powerful, very amazing. Of course, Daksha himself was born from, he had 10 fathers, you know, and now he's going to become empowered to propagate and populate the world, the universe of different living entities. And Prabhupada describes how nothing is impossible, or nothing is possible without tapasya. But actually, Daksha was given facility for unlimited sexual life. And he was so attached to that. In his previous life, we know that Daksha was performing sacrifices and he offended Lord Shiva. And he was given a head of a goat. And because it was an abominable activity, he gave up that body. And now, this is the same Daksha, he's born again with the same name. And again, he's asking for unlimited, you know, potency for sexual intercourse. And Prabhupada writes that, you know, one should not think that Daksha was favored by the Supreme Lord, giving him facility for this unlimited sex. Because later it's going to be revealed in the next chapter where Narada Muni is actually cursed by Prajapati Daksha. And Prabhupada describes here, although sex is the topmost enjoyment in the mature world, and although one may have an opportunity for sexual enjoyment by the grace of God, this entails a risk of committing offenses. Daksha was open to such offenses, and therefore, strictly speaking, he was not actually favored by the Supreme Lord. So, we see here, Daksha went through all these different austerities. He was humble, but he wanted unlimited potency to create. He had compassion for the conditioned souls, which Prabhupada says that we should also have to give us facility to go back to the spiritual world. And this facility is, he says, the Supreme Lord finishes his instructions by saying that, but because of my mercy to you and them, they will also be able to give me presentations in devotion. So this is his mercy, that we have this facility to present something to Krishna, to offer him something. So we're offering our services, we're engaging other people in engaging them in offering presentations to the Supreme Lord. You know, we're offering them gifts, they accept gifts, they you know, offer gifts in return. And in this way, they actually become purified. And this is the whole process of creation. It's because we have revolted against the Supreme Lord, now there's fantastic arrangement with so many different personalities and living beings to give us this facility here. And the ones that are intelligent, the ones that are actually following the leaders and the footsteps of the great acharyas, the great personalities, following the right path, they know the purpose of creation, and that's to give us a chance to become purified and ultimately go back to the spiritual world. So this facility we have, and we're engaged in that facility. So we're very fortunate to have that facility. So this is kind of a little summary study of this chapter, which is so much information. You could just, this just touches the tip of it. But we have to see that the whole purpose and what we can learn and apply it in our own lives so that we can take the most advantage of all these instructions. But maybe there's some comments or realizations or questions on this chapter. Yes, Sach Chinoy Prabhu.
Thank you very much. I just have a comment that it's interesting to see that Daksha got to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face, talking to him, and he mentioned that, I'm very pleased for your endeavoring and your activities, your austerities and penance, and I'm very happy, he said, with you. And you're liberated. And sometimes you wonder, liberated from what? Because eventually in the next chapter it is said that he still carries on material desires with him. Mm-hmm. And because of that he even cursed Narada Muni.
Right.
So similarly, previously he had many, many birds that we don't even know, millions probably of birds that he had when he committed offenses with Lord Shiva, and he came back again. So still, so my comment is that unless one engages in anyabilasita sunya, in jnana karma and avritana, and then one completely is liberated from everything. But in this case, yes, the Lord is dealing with every devotee according to what they want or they need. He even mentioned in the few verses, mm-hmm. that, yeah, get married, you'll have children, and even your children will be designed to have sex, will engage in sex, and I will help them too, because that's what they want. Mm-hmm. So even us as devotees, sometimes we might be engaged in devotional service, and we might carry some desire that either fame, making money, prestige, or whatever. You might get liberated to some extent, but you have to come back again. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting to see that how we learned so many things from this. And thank you for explaining and refreshing our mind with this analysis of different good points.
That's interesting. And it says, but because he said that you will give birth to many hundreds and thousands of children, like you were saying, and they will also be captivated by the illusory energy and they'll produce children. But because of my mercy to you, Daksha, and to them, they'll be able to give me presentations in devotion, which is very nice. And we all have that facility. We could somehow know. That's what he wants, is a devotion. Just offer whatever you do, whatever you give away, austerities you perform, just do it as an offering to me. Like that. Are there any other comments, questions, realizations? All right. Well, thank you for your kind attention. All glories to the Srimad Bhagavatam.